sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
Fuck no, we're not doing this.
And I'm finally comfortable enough to just use my normal everyday talking voice.
Fuck. And welcome, I have no comment. And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Terrified. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts. Then we go to a deep spoiler analysis or analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We are reviewing Blood Ride.
A Trip on the Blood Ride.
Season 1, Episode 3, titled...
Rightfully so, Bad Writing.
Bad writer, yeah.
We have decided to stick with it, as we will be the only horror movie podcast in existence to ride the blood ride to the end.
Well, we are the only horror movie podcast, so we will be defaultly, we will be the only show to review all 100 episodes of Blood Ride, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah,
I think we've only got three more.
Feels like an eternity.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyways, what did you think of episode 3, John?
I just want to make it clear, I gave Rolando the option last week to jump off this ride. Yeah. There was a connecting trip to a much better horror-themed TV show, I think. But
Potentially. Could be trash.
We are going to stick with it until we land in Erie, Indiana. What did I think of bad writing? I think I called
bad writer last week when I told you,
I was like, this is going to be exactly like the title suggests. I bet it's going to be just a terrible episode. And not only was I right, but it's an episode that just keeps going and gets worse and worse the more it reveals itself.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. I don't want to, like, I didn't like it, but I didn't think it was... I wasn't offended by it, if that makes sense. It was terrible.
Yeah. I was okay by, like, very early on when she has that cheery disposition. It made me think, oh, okay, so something bad's going to happen to her. And then, for some reason, all her classmates and her boyfriend want to murder her.
I thought that I was okay at that point. I was still, like, on the ride.
I was on the blood ride there.
Yeah.
And then they attempt to, and I was still on the blood ride. And then creepy guy that's in the class with her saves her. And then that's when I start to pull on the brake to just, like, let me off the bus, because from that point on is when it got real dumb.
And there's no stopping the blood ride once it starts flowing. Jamming down that street. There's no stopping it.
There's a creepy guy that they go out of their way to film him, like, staring, like, just looking at her ass, I guess, is the way he checks her out. And there's, like, some weird, like, music cue, like, theme music, and then they always, like, give his POV, so it's, like, of her running away.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't understand. And then I started to gather, like, okay, this story is being written as she's going, because I've seen this in movies before.
Yeah. Kind of like Stranger Than Fiction.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then this guy just kind of wrote, like, his idea of, like, the hottest woman he could think of. So, oddly enough, I wasn't super, like, annoyed he kept like trying to check her out, because I'm like, oh well, he like, you know, this is supposed to be for him. Mm-hmm. But then she has the ability to write what's going on with him,
right? Yeah,
there's a monster, no reason for that to be there, but there's a monster. Bites his hand off, comes out of the laptop.
Yep.
And then she decides to write a happy ending for the two of them. And then there's a reveal that a lady who I think was a teacher, ?
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Is writing this whole story at like a family picnic.
Yes,
and,
pretty much, yeah.
The characters...
Family dinner.
The characters in it... they're barbecuing. The characters in it come out and you realize that the woman that she was writing to get killed off is the girlfriend of her son, and she does not like her.
Yeah.
And then for reasons that will never be known, decides to stab her and is assuming that she can just delete what just happened on her laptop.
Yeah.
Because he kills her, I guess.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway from this is that
it was bad writing.
That the Finnish language looks like you sat on a keyboard. Like,
oh yeah.
It's just a bunch of letters and symbols and whatever thrown together very haphazardly. So nice to know that about the Finnish, our Norwegian people.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I mean, it's fine. It's pretty much as you described. I mean, there's not a ton in it. She's just like, it's a story about somebody who's trying to write an escape for her life that she's unhappy with.
Right.
And it kind of, she comes up with this concept of like, you know, laptops that are able to change, authors are able to change their story or whatever on the fly.
Yeah.
And so she kind of takes that as like a real life thing.
As we continue our blood ride, it occurs to me that this is feeling more of like Are You Afraid of the Dark or Goosebumps style show as opposed to a ride of blood.
Without the kid angle, right? Like the kid-friendly angle of it. But yeah, yes, exactly, yeah.
But it is very PG-ish.
They all what I'm disliking already is the constant twist in every...
Yeah.
So far, every episode has like a dumb, like double turn twist to it, which I'm a little exhausted of, to where it's not having the same effect for every 3 episodes in. I'm already like exhausted of it. So,
well, it says Blood Red is produced by M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan Ding Dong? No, okay. Yeah, no, so yeah, this didn't... I wouldn't say... Okay, so let me ask this. Out of the three, which one do you think this is the weakest one?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Yeah. And even though I didn't like it too much, I think the second one is probably the best so far.
I thought similar. I think they incorporated the twist. I enjoyed the twist. So pretty much... The problem is that when you have a twist, it's like if you don't like the twist or if the twist doesn't make sense, then it kind of dictates how you feel about the whole piece.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so also kinda... with that one, the twist was fine.
Yeah.
It's just that there was another tag at the end where the guy ends up killing somebody anyway. And it's like, why did they add that?
Right, yeah.
Because he needs to go for the blood red.
He needs to have blood on his hands. You got to have blood, John, blood.
But he's burning it all up. What else do you want to say about Blood Rag?
I thought the acting was good. I thought it was okay. Like everything makes sense, even though it's kind of like heightened and they're behaving kind of a bit over the top a little bit.
Yeah.
In the beginning, and it's shot kind of like... Shot like a rom-com, does that make sense?
Yes.
Like a romantic movie. It's purposely done that way, which there is intent there, right? Because we have a by the end, when we get our twist, we're in stark contrast. We're like very minimal light, dark shadows, and kind of cold and distant is the theme when we go to the actual writer's reality. Yeah. That was okay.
Yeah.
So in retrospect, you know, I thought like they did a good job of showing what was happening visually and not really like spending time explaining it. So I'm basically referring to It's a Wonderful Knife, how like they kind of over explained everything. Yeah. It didn't really have that heightened sense of visualness to represent a lot of the different aspects of the what is it, like the future when she was time traveling a bit.
Yes. Which, with that said, I don't know if you saw, but people have really taken to Justin Long's character in that movie.
Really not.
And he started doing cameos as that character per people's requests. Cool. So actually, I know we talked about how he was the only guy making choices, but I think it's really paying off because people seem to really love the movie for him.
Yeah, and I know that Michael Kennedy, right? It was his name, Michael.
Yeah.
The writer of it. He posts on it. I see. I always post on Instagram, and he's always like, "It's a wonderful gay knife or something." He just like all these he posts all these people's like terrible responses to it. Oh. Liked it up to the. I liked it up to the gay part or whatever, like on, you know, IMDb or like review aggregators and stuff. So he's like, he's always chiming back like, well, maybe you're gay or something. So he's always fighting it back. It's fun. He's trying to make fun of his the horror, or maybe just people online reacting homophobic to his movie.
Good.
I like good. That. Call out the homophobes. Yeah. But yeah,
that's the blood ride for this week.
That's the blood ride.
I'm gonna imagine
homophobes suck.
We're going to continue this blood ride because I'm going to torture Rolando since he's the one that convinced me to stay on. But now I'm sucked into the blood ride. You know, you get me past the halfway point of any show and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to finish it.
Yeah, you have more courage than me, John. I'm definitely a quitter. So I admire your courage in this. Alrighty, you want to move over to our main review?
Let's do it.
Alrighty.
Alterados.
Yeah, Alterados. Is that right? Did I say that right?
Go on, Art the Clown. No, I'm just kidding.
Alrighty, John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Terrified by our boy Damien Rugna. Coming in at number 3. There goes the dimensional neighborhood.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 2 for Terrified. Tap water has terrible bacteria.
That's facts. Yeah. That's just facts, yeah.
Flint, Michigan, Argentina. And coming in at number 1 for Terrified by Damien Rugna. Darkness imprisoning me. Absolute horror.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. I pushed a Metallica reference.
Oh, Metallica. Okay.
Yeah. It's from the hit song 1. And yes, I did omit the middle part of that just so it would be a 5 word plot summary.
Yeah.
So I've seen this movie before and I told you need to watch it because it seems like I might be obsessing over this director.
Yes, we saw and much, much enjoyed When Evil Lurks.
And then his segment of...
that's right.
His Satanic Hispanics.
Yep, Satanic Hispanics. Yeah, definitely like up-and-coming director who has a lot of potential. I actually, you know, it's funny with this movie. I kind of see like... If... I feel like potentially he could be headed in a direction of doing maybe something more mainstream. Maybe they'll give him more, because he has seen Terrified. I can definitely see him doing something in America.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Doing something for like James Wan or A24. I can see that.
Exactly. Yeah. I can see people wanting to work with him. Like, there's so many like European directors who have kind of been swallowed, chewed up, spit out like before, and I feel like he's, I'm not saying he's headed in that direction, but I mean, he definitely is going to be on people's radar. I think he's a very interesting director, very thoughtful director. I loved this movie in that it jumps right into the action. Like, there's no like
fussing around. Do you think this movie convinces you he could be more of a mainstream horror guy?
Yes,
because it's very it's almost jump scary, right?
Yeah, at parts. And you know what I was reminded of? This Terrified movie is like a more rated R Poltergeist. You know what I mean?
It's true, yeah.
So that's the kind of why I was thinking like, yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see him if given the reins of some franchise, reboot, whatever. I could definitely see him, you know, getting job offers and making something. Yeah,
which this could have been a franchise. I think initially they were supposed to make a sequel, but he made one, Evil Lurks, instead.
Okay. Yeah. And I feel like that movie is definitely more... That would be... It's a more challenging movie, harder movie to... It's
more artistically inclined compared to this one. Which is...
Yeah.
Not a jab at this one at all, because I honestly really like this movie. It is... There is not a whole lot of relief going on as far as like tension.
Yeah, his trademark, he kills kids pretty regularly. That's like his big thing. I would love to, if anybody's ever asked him or ask him, like, what's your thing with kids? Why do you kill kids?
And what is terrible. What does a dog always live, even if it's like a dog you've never seen before? Like,
yeah.
At the beginning, like, hey, that dog we hit, it lived. Like, okay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. My only quibble and my only little quibble with this movie, like, I liked it completely. Like, I think it's a great movie. My only quibble is like the narrative is a little weird because
it back and forth,
jumps around. Yeah. Like, we start with the couple, and I thought that opening with the couple was like, man, that's fucked up. I want to know what happened. But then we go to his neighbor. We go to the past and we focus on the neighbor, and then we start focusing like on the paranormal older people or whatever. Yeah. And then we focus on the cop, and it's like, I don't think it narratively ever really like solidified in a way that I was happy with, because there's no like central character. I think they end up deciding on the cop by the end. He's kind of like more of the lead, but I don't think they ever... I would have liked it if it was more singular and more like smaller, maybe, as to why, what was going on in those houses, or what was going on with that specific guy. That's my only tiny quibble, but I liked the movie overall.
Because I think, to me, the main character is the neighborhood. Because it's like infected with whatever this thing is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like this movie. And even on like a second watch or third watch, I guess, I was like, man, this movie is just like, it's fun to see all the little things where like, oh yeah, I forgot about that, and I forgot about this, blah, blah, blah. Because it is hard to remember everything when you're watching it for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in a language that we're not like super, you know, familiar with. We're not, like, we know Spanish a little bit, but this is also not like Mexican Spanish. So it's like, okay, I'm not sure what, you know, I got to read the subtitles.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I loved all the little sequences, and they're all terrifying. They all kind of work, not to take from the movie, but I liked every little bit. Everything made sense. What's so good is that he's really good about like the scenes that he makes, or like the geography kind of always makes sense, and why things are happening the way they're happening. And he's not afraid to
kill kids. Yeah.
Kill kids, or like he's not afraid to show them, show whatever it is, the monster, the beast, And he definitely has a unique vision of it, right? Like the first tiny things, right? Like we're able to hear a lot of noise. We see him almost right away, and then those scenes are kind of built upon. And I really like the tempo. I love that it was just moving so fast, and it was like boom, boom, boom. All this shit is happening. We're not wasting our time on. Is there really ghosts here? What's happening? Nobody's pretending like this isn't happening. It's just fucking going and moving.
And I really do appreciate that everybody involved with this, it's not like one person doesn't believe what's going on. It seems like every single person is like, yeah, there's some fucking weird shit going on. Including the cop, who's very much like, he never doubts it. In fact, like his fucking old best friend or whatever is a paranormal guy, like,
yeah,
which I thought was funny. Like, I don't know, he's like, oh yeah, an old buddy of mine. I'm like, he looks a lot older than you, but okay, cool. You know, friendships,
yeah,
friendships are timeless. I just appreciate that nobody's trying to like deny it, but they all understand that they have to constantly cover up what's going on. Like, there seems to be an understanding where, like, hey, well, we can't just tell the public this because it's going to sound like bullshit. So let's just say this instead, or let's do that instead, whatever.
Yeah. Let's see. We do have a returning actor, right? There is a returning actor.
Damien. Other Damien.
Damien's, yeah. He played one of the brothers, right? He's one of the.
He's the neighbor, the main guy? That like the one that's like pretends that he's remodeling the house, the one that's like living alone and he keeps seeing shit and he keeps trying to call the psychiatrist or the paranormal woman.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she keeps like dodging his calls.
Who was he again? And
oh yes, you're right. He was one of the brothers. Yeah, he was the younger brother in When Evil Lurks. And then he was our main guy in the short that he did
for. Yeah, they have a nice, you know, relationship, the director and him. You know what I mean? I think they have a... He's a very good actor, so...
I want to say they're all fucking pretty phenomenal actors. Like, I don't know if they're like a collective of people that know each other, because they're all very comfortable with each other on screen.
So what do you... So what do you think is happening? Because I think when you... What overall do you think this might be?
In the movie?
Yeah, why are these things happening? Well,
they kind of explain it. The lady kind of explains it before whatever happens
before
to her.
Spoiler.
Happens to her.
Yeah.
She kind of explains that these... there are these dimensions that are stacked on top of each other, and these things aren't people, really. It's just these things that are a part of this dimension, and they feed off of blood and all that stuff because that's their like food source, I guess. And they also, I guess they at one point they're in the nest. That's why there's a lot of paranormal stuff happening. And I think they can be as tiny as like microscopic as what she was trying to explain. So that's why the water was tainted. They broke in through the water. And that's why the water was like, it would latch onto people.
So it's like, thought I also had was that it's kind of like nothing dies. That's why that joke, or not really a joke, but like that dog, he says like the dog didn't die. It's still alive, but it,
could have been one of those things. Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like, we can infer that maybe there's like things that die don't really die because of whatever this dimensional thing or whatever is there.
I also want to say maybe they just take on the form, which is very reminiscent of what he did later in When Evil Lurks, right? Where things just kind of look like or are the thing, but then, you know, they wear kind of the skin of the thing, kind of like Skinwalker sort of theory. Because you do see that with one of the guys at one point later on. One of the characters, his eyes look weird, and it kind of seems like something's wearing his skin.
Okay, yeah.
How do you not spoil what's going on? It's like, you know, that's where you're talking about the time jumping thing. Also, we're a horror movie podcast that has a very unhealthy addiction to anthology style movies. And this is definitely one like that.
Do you think so? I think that, like, I mean, it has a very, like, we won't, without spoiling it, like, it has, like, a very jump scary ending. And I feel like if I were to be more, like, critical of the director, it's not, he doesn't really end his movies. Does that make sense? Like, he kind of either has very ambiguous endings or very, like, one more scare before we leave because just a bunch of shit happens. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, solid resolution to his movies.
And I think we were kind of talking about that. Did we talk about this on the record, or were we just kind of talking about it where it's it was off before we started recording. It's the same sort of style as what, like The Grudge or like It Follows. Just there's no resolution, like evil is forever. There's no stopping it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which, the more I watch movies like this, the more I think decidedly like movies like this. Like, where it just like never ends and people are just fucked. I kind of like that, where it's like, I mean, this is ideally whenever people defeat the supernatural entity, it feels good when you're watching the movie. But then I think when I sit alone and think about those movies, I'm like, how would these people randomly know how to do these things?
Yeah. I think also, I agree with you. I think it's always a choice to not have a happy ending to your movie, or like a tied up resolution. Not really happy, but just like a unopened ending. It's everything's tied up nicely.
I'm just saying, we are elder emos and we don't need happiness to survive.
So we have our coffee, tattoos, and concerts.
Just a person in his late 30s getting piercings for whatever reason over here. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it.
I hope they don't. What, your new piercings don't close, John?
So I'm going to stretch my earlobes because I was told they're good for stretching. I'm like, okay, let's do it. I'm going to get the travel plugs.
The gauges?
Yeah, I'm going to gauge my ear to stretch. Yeah, I'm going to stretch this. I'm going to be
the 90s are dead, John. No, don't do it.
I'm going to get willing to drink in wine so I can use the corks and put them in my ears and dread my hair.
You're trying to look like the singer from Alkaline Trio.
Are you talking about Matt Skiba from Blink-182? Formerly of Blink-182?
Sure. When you're saying words, then sure. I have no idea.
Because Matt Skiba, when Tom DeLonge left the band, Matt Skiba was the guy that replaced them, the singer of Alkaline Trio.
Yeah. I used that name because I had friends of friends have a band, and they got him to produce their record.
Oh.
And it sounds just like Alkaline Trio. I'm just like, why would you want to sound like Alkaline Trio? Go with your own sound, dude. But I get, maybe that's what they had in mind for that band. So I was like, okay, yeah. I don't think it ever went anywhere. No. Music, I didn't really have any, I don't really have follow-up.
For the record, I did enjoy Alkaline Trio's earlier efforts.
Well, you know, I've always been a hater, ancient hater, so... Yeah. Anything popular.
How do you feel about Interpol?
I don't think... Haven't missed a beat. So, no, yeah, I feel like the records waned a bit. Like, I don't know. There's always, like, good music, good songs, but it never, like... I can't... It's, like, consistent. Kind of like their first album. The first album I thought was, like, it's perfect.
So I know we're talking about Terrified, but how do you feel about... The National's newest albums?
I think that The National are a band that are able to... They've evolved in their age, their music. Yeah. It's still fundamentally the same band, and it's beautiful music, beautifully written, very thoughtfully composed, and very, you know, revealing lyrics to it and stuff like that. But now they're older, so they're working with Taylor Swift, which I think is a good move for them.
Yeah, or so, at least one of the guitar, the one of the brothers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, apparently she got really depressed and she started listening to music I listened to in college. Since she made that one record, supposedly. So me and her have that in common. That's cool. Come on, really? Yeah. Justin Verdon, Bon Iver, The National. So it's like college for me.
Good for her.
So
I wonder why that didn't influence her playing style. I mean, nothing. No, I mean, I
think Verdon produced it. So, I mean, it does have some, you can hear him, hear his like resonance in the, I have heard the album, whatever it's called. I think it's, I don't know what it's called. I couldn't tell you off that.
I did listen to it too. It's interesting. I feel like in live footage I see of her playing those songs is when she doesn't play guitar, which is a telling thing. Is this the same six chords she knows? I'm just kidding. I know she actually does play music. I respect that she writes music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same. And we had the same flannel shirt, so
I admire that. You and Taylor Swift?
Tay Tay, yeah. So, anyways, yeah. So, Terrified. Wasn't a fan of the score. I don't know if there was
the score?
Music. I don't know. I don't know. Just saying, trying to transition back to the movie unsuccessfully.
I was like, what was the music? I don't remember that being the score.
I'm trying to like slowly blend into the back to what we were talking about.
I say we just get into spoilers because I feel like every little vignette, we're just going to spoil what happens to these people.
Okay, cool. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. By far, the scariest part of this movie, which I know is going to... Because, again, this is probably the third time I've seen this movie. So I know it's going to happen. And every time it happens, I'm like, oh, my God. I just, like, want to close my eyes. And this rarely happens in movies for me. But the one lady, the one that Damien's character was trying to get a hold of, but she finally showed up, is explaining what was going on or what these things are to the cop.
The older lady.
Yeah. And then out of nowhere, you know, a hand pops out of this wall because I think we failed to mention there's like a crack in the wall that the first story the guy thinks the guy remodeling next door has caused, but it is not because of him. It is because of these things trying to break through.
Right.
A hand pops out and basically like snaps her neck and then starts like pulling her towards the wall and hitting her. And then when the cop is like comes to later, because he has like he's got like a heart problem and he's got a hearing aid, hearing, you know, loss, whatever. The guy's just like, they keep trying to push that he's older, even though he doesn't look that old.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like he's in his like mid 40s, maybe.
Opposite the truly older people. No, he's not. He doesn't look old.
No. Yeah. Basically the median age of this film is like 58 for some reason.
Our main character is about average age is 58. Yeah.
And I'm waiting to find out that they're all like legendary actors and actresses from Argentina that we don't know about, that this director's like, oh, they're has-beens at this point. I know they're going to be fucking great. But he comes to and he's like running out of the house. He's like, he needs to get the fuck out of there. For most of the movie, this cop is like, I need to get out of this fucking place. But he keeps getting pulled back in somehow. Mm-hmm. And then this is the point where he gets in his car and he's like turning on the car. Oh, there's also a creepy moment where, okay, I guess we should have fully explained what happens in each of the stories, but his ex-partner, whose son gets hit by a bus, right? Because the son drinks the tap water, and I think was the guy's name Walter? The Damien's character starts yelling through the wall.
Yeah, like, he says, "Get away from my house" or something.
And the kid drinks the water and walks into the street and gets hit by a bus. And I think you're supposed to assume because he drank the water, His body is like possessed by this thing and clawed its way out of the grave and showed up at her house or his old house. And the cop kind of put into a corner, has to tell people that she's just crazy for the time being.
Right.
And I mean, a lot happened. I'm not going to explain the entire thing, but he gets, is this where he runs into her? And he's like going to go, she's like, let's get out of here. And
that's
she's
right at the end. Yeah.
Covered in dirt. Mm-hmm. And, when she gets in her driver's seat and he's about to get in the passenger seat, he looks in the back seat and sees that the kid is there again, covered in flies, right? And right, yeah. She's like, I mean, I just couldn't leave him there. I couldn't. You covered him in concrete to make sure he couldn't get out, and I just couldn't leave him there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, rightfully so, without any dialogue, but you can tell he's like, fuck this shit, man. Like, why the fuck have I stayed here this long? Gets in his own car, is turning on the car, and then the lady, the old lady that was explaining everything that got her neck snapped, starts running out of the fucking house going like, no, there's still time to save us, there's still time to save us, and slams against the window. I'm like, I hate seeing that so much. Because it is, to me, the most terrifying part of the fucking movie. I'm like, no. And like, dude, cop at this point is like, fuck this shit, and just drives off. Oh my God, that part scares the shit out of me.
The I think the one of the ones that worked for me was it's the one where he's one of the investigators is a paranormal investigator. He's looking through the window and he can see somebody, and then he like keeps moving his head back and forth. And I know it's coming. Like I know it's gonna come that he basically could see like somebody in the other house, like at the back of somebody in the other house through the windows.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he starts moving his head left to right, to where he can't see him, he could see him. He can't see him, he could see him. And then finally, the jump scare is he turns and the face is just like right there. And I was like, oh, fuck, that got me. Yeah. I was like, I knew I was coming, but it was like, that still got me. So,
and that's the cop's like BFF, who's like a lot older than him. Mm-hmm. And then he just like disappears. And then there's like another moment like later there where... So the cop drives off in the middle of nowhere, even though he keeps having like heart problems where he basically should be dead. Is smoking a cigarette, which, you know, I think the joke is like he shouldn't be doing that, but he's like, fuck it. Like, what does it fucking matter? And he's smoking a cigarette, like, I don't know, underneath a highway or something. And he gets a call on his dispatch patrol, and there's a guy there saying like, hey, I'm here. I'm outside of like Alicia's house, who was his ex-partner. And he's like, hey, it's an order. I need you to get the fuck out of there. But the guy's not getting it. And he keeps like trying to tell him like, hey, you need to get out of there. And the guy's like, hey, I'm not sure what you're saying, but your buddy's here. Like, his buddy, the paranormal investigator, I can see him in the house. He's kind of walking around, but he's acting kind of funny. And he's like, I need you to get out of there. And luckily, the guy finally responds like, okay, I'm leaving. And he takes off. And while he's smoking the cigarette, looks at the cigarette and has an idea. So he goes to the house, Alicia's house, and starts like pouring gasoline all over it. And I think he goes to each of the houses, pours gasoline. You get another jump scare where you see the fucking kid's doors open to his room. And he sees the dirt and he's like kind of peeking in, and all of a sudden the kid pops out of nowhere on the bottom and slams the door shut, and he's just like, fuck you, and he starts pouring gasoline. I really enjoyed it. He's like very like, he gets scared and he's like, fuck this, every single time, like,
yeah.
And then he walks into the living room, sees his buddy Alicia hung herself, feels bad, but douses her in gasoline too. And this is the part where I'm getting at. He's outside and he's like trying to light a match, and it seems like the wind keeps blowing it out. And then he finally gets one more match, lights it, and then he realizes that his old buddy has been possessed by one of those thingies, has like bulging eyes. And that's what I was talking about earlier, where it looks like they wear the skin of the people that they eat.
Right, and, yeah.
He's right there blowing out the matches every time he lights one. I'm like, oh my God. But luckily, with movie logic, which this is not a real thing, but with movie logic, he was able to shoot the gasoline with his gun, and it ignites it.
Yeah, obviously.
Sets it all in the blaze. Yeah.
Did that scene, did you think that would work burning him? Did you have, but when you first saw it, did you have an inkling that was a good resolution to it? I didn't. I knew that wasn't going to work.
No, I knew, kind of had a feeling that wouldn't work. Yeah. And now that we really know, we're kind of familiar with most of Damien Rugma's videography, we know it's not going to work.
It's a very
temporary solution.
Right, yeah. It feels like the right thing in the moment, but no, it never. He's really good at creating these like evil things that just are relentless, are undefeatable. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's super good about that. I think that that's cool that he's able to. And plus, I really liked the designs of the creatures, or even when cool. They were really interesting and like, it's hard to describe. Basically, just like mangled bodies and.
Yeah, I mean, if you see the cover of the movie,
yes, yeah,
that's kind of the way they look. Just not as well lit as that, obviously, but.
Right.
That and the little boy, the son that gets hit by the bus that keeps coming back, and he's just like decrepit and like completely grayed and blacked out.
I was gonna ask about that. So he killed his friend, right? The little boy that came to showed up at the door, the back door, window door, you know, sliding door.
Killed the little boy?
Yeah, he killed the little boy.
I think that little boy ran away. The little boy, because later the mom called and left a message saying, hey, my kid like left his toys, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay. Because they...
I don't know, because then the only way they were able to get the dead kid out, which there's a really great scene where the mom gave the kid a glass of milk and cereal, but the kid is clearly dead and just sitting there.
Yeah,
When they turn off the light, the kid moves and you're like, what the fuck?
He like pushes the milk to the table.
And then there's that great, the cop is talking to his friend and his friend's like, do you think it's this? He's like, well, you know, sometimes grieving parents will like pull dead bodies out and just, you know, put them back in their homes and blah, 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 this, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, you think that's what it is? He's like, no, I don't.
Yeah, no, not at all.
That's something you could tell people. Yeah. He's like, but it moved. He's like, you know, gases build up in dead bodies and they cause contractions or whatever is what you can say. I don't know, man.
He's there's like, no he's way like to I don't believe that's happening. Yeah, he's like, I don't believe any of that. Yeah, but
I don't believe any of it's true. That's what I really appreciate. They're like, no, fuck no. There's some weird shit going on.
They had very practical, realistic reactions to all the fucked up shit they're encountering. Yeah.
That's why. And right after that conversation, the cop turns to his buddy and is like, and also never, ever turn off the lights again. Thank you. And that's why they're saying it.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, that same kid like kind of turns and looks at the kid because I wasn't sure. I think the reason the door was open was because they pulled the body out and put the body in a fridge outside.
Yeah.
Like a cooler style fridge.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the other kid died. I think he got away because I think it was just like my toys, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But that's when they took the opportunity because Alicia was asleep to go and just bury the kid. I was like, oh.
Right, yeah.
Again, isn't like a terribly linear storyline.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to gauge what's going on at what moment.
Yeah. They definitely. Yeah, again, like I think that was like my only little quibble with it. It's just like narratively, it was just kind of like all over the place. You kind of just jump to character to character to character. I would have liked to have spent. I thought that, initially watching it, I kind of thought that it was just about the couple. And what was in that house.
Like, oh, yeah.
They kind of get, you know, that's less, they don't really focus on that story.
No, that was like the last thing, or one of the last things to actually happen to that neighborhood, I think, is what I gathered.
Yeah, and what's his face is, He's in a psychiatric ward. Is that right? The surviving husband. Yeah.
Because they're not sure if he killed his wife or not.
Mm-hmm.
Which everybody is fully aware that he didn't, but because there isn't any evidence to prove otherwise, mm-hmm. and it is not America, I think he just stays
Interesting
in jail.
Interesting commentary, John.
Because in America, you can get away with whatever you want as long as you don't get caught.
Have money. You gotta have money.
That's our national motto, I think. Hey, just have money and don't get caught.
yeah.
But yeah, he's stuck in there, and it's interesting that he gets presented with our three main paranormal people with different. That's something I would have liked to have seen more, like what their strengths really were, because they each had like a different specialty, and I wish they had gone deeper into that. Would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
Before killing them all off.
She was messing around with some kind of like thing, wasn't she? Like some sort of like.
Yeah, almost. I gathered she was like the alchemist of the three. Is what I was gathering.
It's a good way to describe it. Yeah, like she was the one that had the device that looked like a sonographer or something. like she was mapping something, or like she had like a very like integral device that she didn't really explain what it was, but I guess it just made you more aware of the things that were the ghosts or whatever dimension.
Then also, she knew how to mix certain solutions together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty similar character was also in When Evil Lurks, like that one lady.
Yeah.
Who had
definitely
kind of like the same vibe to her.
And then as a character. The cop's best friend and the other dude look so similar.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I got confused. I think one had about
beard, right? One of us, but that was like, I'm not even sure, right? Because they do look very similar.
Yeah, they look so similar.
Yeah.
I forgot how the other guy died.
He got killed by the tall thing, the tall bald thing, wasn't he? In the room? The first thing we see is the very naked tall man coming out from under his bed and leaving and coming back. So he's the one that injured his hand, right? And then,
oh, that's right, yes.
But they didn't really explain what his, like you said, like his thing was. Like, what did he was just their friend.
He was just kind of, because the dude, the cop's like best friend was the guy that was like, there's somebody in the living room, and then got the jump scare, and then it just cuts to him getting like stuck inside of the cabinet that he was kind of in front of working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I kind of forgot how the other guy died.
I think he got killed by that tall man.
Oh, okay.
He got his hand stabbed by the...
Yes.
Whatever.
Oh, because, there was like... kind of looked like there was a magnetic force keeping all the Civil War up on a cabinet, floating. And because he was fucking with it, the knife like stabbed him in the hand. And that's when they realized that the things drank blood, right? Because it was sucking all the blood out of his hand through the cabinet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's how he died. I think he died by that man, whoever that tall guy was.
Oh, okay. There are a lot of off-screen deaths in this.
Yes, yeah.
Like, Damien, the actor, has an off-screen death. Like, you have no idea what happens to him, and then you see that he's stuck in the walls, but it's not him.
Mm-hmm.
Our cop disappears because he's on the lam for. They are what, accusing him of burning all those people alive, even though they're all dead.
Right, for burning that.
He set the neighborhood on fire.
So he potentially is alive. More than likely. Yeah,
they really do set up like an idea of a sequel happening.
Yeah, they can always pick up another story, and then a cop kind of comes back for a scene or two.
Yeah, this guy comes back and he's like, my heart, and I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah. With all Alrighty. That said, David Ragna is way up there. He's high up there as one of my favorite directors right now.
I 100% agree. I look forward to whatever he does next. I think he's has a very interesting voice. I think he's like only learning more how to tell stories and make movies. And When Evil Lurks is definitely like shows his potential to tell probably another great horror movie. And I can easily see him being pulled into Hollywood, people wanting to offer him whatever to get him to make movies, because they're all, his two movies and his segment are all really solidly done. All right.
Yeah, agreed.
Do you have any other thoughts? Or
no? I already told you I love this movie. I was like, you gotta watch it. If you, when we watched his other things, I'm like, yeah, you like those, right? Yeah, you're gonna like Terrified. It's good.
Yeah.
Even for like an early feature length effort.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. First, I believe, right? I mean, I believe that's the correct timeline. I think he did shorts, but...
Yeah, mostly shorts, yeah. But I also don't know too much, because you know, he's born in 79, so I'm not sure what his early life was like.
Mm-hmm. It was terrifying. No, I'm just kidding. No. It's all based on true story.
Shit. He knows when evil lurks, because it's him.
He's Art the Clown.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be amazing. Alrighty, you ready to rate this?
Yeah.
Alright, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones. Ooh,
sexy bones. Well, I know.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give Damien's Terrified 8.8 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, me too. That's exactly where I was at. I'm at an 8 as well. So, solid movie, fun movie. I think this is most accessible movie out of both, out of that.
Yeah. Because there's like a very fun, I don't want to say lighthearted sense to it, but compared to When Evil Lurks, which was just dreary.
Dude, yeah, just, yeah.
Like tugging on like your anxiety and your disbelief and your sadness. And this one's more of like, whoa, fun times.
Fun times, burning stuff. Yeah. Yeah, so I give it an 8 as well. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always...
Stay spooky y atrados.
Blood red.
Blood red.